I believe I can prove to the Grace Notes how much I love them. I was going to, and I'm going to right now, tell you that when I chose the songs for this week, I chose Lo, How a Rose There Blooming because of the message. But on Friday, it also became about Jan. No thorns anymore. Beautiful rose. The fragrance of heaven. And I didn't want to say it before you sang, because, you know how the weepy willow trees are. Our people, and Jan was one of them, that could put out fires with their tears. No question. Anyway, I will give time in the funeral service, by the way, for anybody that wants to share. I would probably try to keep it as brief as you can in case there's a number of people, but we will have opportunity for it, for those of you that would like to say something. And if you have something you'd like to share, but you're just one of those that don't like to talk unless you want supper or something, write it out, and I will read it for you. Okay. Oh, Christmas tree. First week I talked about the root system. The root system of the tree, the Christmas tree, which is the cross, is the nature and the personality and the authority of Jesus Christ. If he is not your root system, you've got no growth, you have no life. The trunk is that part of the tree where they bring out the timber production. That's where the beams from the cross would have come from, which I love. Without the trunk, without that vertical, guess what, folks? We'd be horizontal. And I can guarantee you that Jan is not sleeping today. She is standing in his presence without being aided, by the way. So, they say it's a woman's prerogative to change your mind. So, I'm going to change my mind and I'm going to change your minds on a few things, hopefully. But I'm going to invert the verses when I actually do the message, but we're going to read them right now. Luke 2, 11 to 20, and Jeremiah 23. This is a picture, by the way, that Nancy Lucan took down in Florida. And I saw the picture and I thought, now there's a tree. There's strong branches. There's something you can hang your hat on and hang yourself on, I imagine. But generally, you can really have no problem with that. It just had such character. And Nancy was so excited about it. So she sent them to me and chose this one this morning. But let's read the scripture. Great, great scripture. Why don't you stand to honor the word of God this morning? Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. In Jeremiah 23, 5 to 6, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. And in his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Okay, you may be seated. The branches of the tree can be vertical, but they're generally horizontal. And I was reading about them, and they said branches are connected to the trunk, but they're not technically part of it, which is interesting. The large branches, called boughs, small ones are twigs. I don't know if the in-between ones are twigs or what they are, but anyway, sad. What happens? From the root system goes up the trunk. The nourishment goes, comes out into the branches. And leaves and fruit come from that, on whatever kind of tree it is. Has to go in order, has to be, it goes from the bottom up. And I thought one of the old English terms I really liked, a descriptive one, which I had put up here, is the word bled. And it means something that has bled or bloomed out, an offspring. Is this a perfect description of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross? The branches are the horizontal, are his arms that stretched out for us. He bled out so we could bloom out. This is what he has done. We cannot improve on the greatness of God and his plan. There's no way. And so, as we read the story, I'm going to start in Jeremiah instead of Luke. The prophecy from the Old Testament, the Bible says the days are coming when God, and it means Yahweh, the Lord, is going to raise up David's righteous branch. And it won't be a little twig either. He'll be God Almighty. Now, the word raise up is the word kum, but it means to rise, raise, arise, stand, and stand up. Did you know that because of the cross, which was made out of the trunk of the tree, we can stand up? Did you know that's where the resurrection comes from? Rises up out of God's great grace. We can't stand on our own. We have got to be connected to the tree, connected to the roots, connected to the trunk. And I love the scripture here. It says, I will raise up that branch. The word means sprout and growth, and it comes from another word. You know, in Hebrew, and particularly in Hebrew, this word comes from this word, which comes from this word, which comes from this word. And you think any of this is confusing? If I wrote in everything that's in there, your head'd spin, and of course that'd be interesting to see, but still, you probably wouldn't appreciate it. But it comes from the word springing up and sprouting, and it really means resurrection. I like the primitive root means to bear and to bring forth. There's also the idea in here of birth, of being born, of growth coming. That's why he went to Bethlehem. That's why he's born into our life. So there is birth and there is life that comes out of it. And it says, and he will be the Lord our righteousness. This is one of the Hebrew names of God. I didn't put it on the study notes, so don't look for it. But it is Jehovah Tzidkenu, and it means the Lord our righteousness. And that word means right standing in the presence of God. Did you know that we're right because Jesus left the throne of God? That's how gracious he is. Prophecy from the Old Testament, the branch is going to be extended. Why? Ultimately, so people find shade underneath her. And they come to know Christ. Plus, as believers and part of that system, we bear fruit, we glorify Christ. It cannot happen unless you are connected to the root system and to the cross. I've said before, you're never going to see an apple tree out there going, apples, apples, apples. You either naturally bear them because you are part of the system, or you do not. The Bible says you'll be known by your fruit, not by your gifts. God's not going to judge me by my gifts because he gave them to me. He's going to judge me by the fruit that grows out, whether it be good or bad, by the way. Prophecy from the Old Testament. Secondly, the person in the New Testament. The great story, the Nativity. I'm not going to preach on the whole text, but I do have a couple of words I really want to highlight here. And the first one is, there will be a Savior who is Christ the Lord. When I was a kid, I thought a lot of things. And one of them is I thought Jesus was his first name and Christ was his last name. Anyone else think like that? Or am I the only nutcase? Okay. But that's what I thought. Made sense to me. But actually, Christ is his title. It's not his name. His personal name is Jesus, given to him. Christ is the title of our wonderful Savior. And so in the 11th verse, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born for you. He is Christ, the Lord. Christ, the Greek word Christos. It means anointed one. It is the same word for Messiah. So it connects to the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah who will be the king forever, who is coming. And it comes from the word meaning anoint with olive oil. They anoint him on the head with olive oil for service to be consecrated. They would anoint the sheep on the head. And the interesting part here, Jesus Christ is the head of the church, right? He's the head, he's the brains, we're the body. His head has been anointed with oil. He is the anointed one, and we are blessed because of it. We have access to the anointing because of him. It's nothing we've done. Now I want to share a scripture in here that might be a little revolutionary, but hang on to your seats because you know what? I'm going to explain it. The Bible said, and the angels, a great company of the heavenly host, appeared with the angel, praising God, and singing? No. Saying. Now, the fact that the angels are not singing is not going to keep me from singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Because that's my favorite Christmas hymn. And personally, I don't care. Because I know, even if it doesn't show in Scripture, which it doesn't, that they sing, they probably do sing in heaven. It's just not recorded in the book. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you why I believe that they don't sing. Angels are created beings. They see God in sight. They do not have faith. They do not operate by faith. They don't need faith because they see God. Right? They were created in his presence. The Bible, and I'll go through it, I'll do a message on it, but I just wanted to throw it out here. Particularly in the book of Revelation, it says, and they, and it's talking about the people, not the angels. They sang a song of the Lamb. It is the redeemed that sing the song. That's who sings the song. I think it's fabulous. God saved the song for us. I love that. I really do. That's why I put Hark the Herald at the end. Because I want us really to rejoice in that song. And the scripture said, praising and saying. The word praise in the Greek, eino, means glory, of course. But it means praise and adore him. And I don't think it even does justice in our English translation, personally, to truly praise God. To extol him what he deserves. So even if the angels didn't sing on that night, I guarantee you God had their attention. Heaven opened up, the scroll of the clouds would have rolled open, and they would have seen heaven at their disposal. Talk about a recital. I mean, you've got heaven in presence. And that wonderful, wonderful time. The heavenly host, the word in the Greek is the word stratia, I love that word. If any of you have been in the military, you know that you're supposed to have strategy. That's where this word comes from. It means to fight and have strategy. The heavenly host has strategy. What's their strategy? Praise God. Talked about it maybe a month or so ago. One of the people's choice here was to talk about praising God. I want to tell you without any qualification, it is warfare, I'll tell you that much. But I will say, when you're in true worship, that is what defeats the devil, because he can't come into worship. He can try to invade your prayers. He can try to invade your testimony. He cannot invade true worship. He's not welcome there. He doesn't feel comfortable there. That's why we focus on Jesus, because the devil doesn't like that name at all. I love it. Worship is the strategy of faith. And the Bible said here, and the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying. The word say in the Greek is lego. It's kind of like that, you know, you had as a kid, Legos, and they all fit. God's word will fit together. God's presence will fit together. His plan will fit together. But it has to be in his control. And it means to say, to speak. It means speech in progress. It originally meant to lay down to sleep. Must have been thinking of some of you today. No, I'm kidding. But it really means to put an argument to rest and to bring and to move to a conclusion. You know what God's word is when you say it? When you proclaim the praise of God, you're putting everything else to rest. It doesn't matter what problem I have. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world. It doesn't matter that today, even though it matters to God, that our hearts are broken. What matters is God has put it all to a conclusion. He has put the matter to rest. He is King. He is God. He's coming back. He came before, and that's the story. And that's the only story. And he says, and they said, glory to God in the highest. Glory. The Greek word is doxa. It's where we get the word doxology. And Beverly loves a doxology. And we all do. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to honor our God. It means opinion. It means good. It means praise, honor, and glory to the Lord. It comes from either doxa or dokeo, meaning to exercise a personal opinion which determines value. When you're glorifying God, you're extolling his value. Did you know that by your words, you can devalue somebody or you can value them? How many have ever felt diminished by words? Hey, they can put you down to not even have being worth a cent. But God's word and his presence are eternal, and the value is out of this world. And he says, glory, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. I got other news for you here. God's peace doesn't rest on those he's not pleased with. Eat that a little while, but don't let it impede you from eating at potluck, but chew on it a bit. Because everything God does is for his pleasing. And it said, I love this word, peace. In the original, it means, and its state, and it sounds like irene. And I love the fact that the true peace of God has the ray of God in it. It has the ray of the sun. It brings light. It brings warmth. It brings hope. And the word really means oneness, peace, quietness, rest, and peace of mind. It comes from a word, iro, which means to join together and to tie into a whole, all essential parts being together. Do you know what peace on earth is? Not everybody in the world holding hands, but everybody lifting their hands to God, to Jesus Christ, and he has his way. Now there's peace, because Jesus will bring it all together. Isn't he the one that in him all things are complete? Nobody else has that. So, and peace on earth. Now I want to finish with scripture that I didn't put up here, and I didn't put any word notes in it. Again, because I love you, and I'll let you rest your brain for 2 seconds. But I want to complete the message on the branch, the extension of the cross, without which you'll never have fruit, you'll never have God's work in your life. That's where it comes from. I want to go back to the original tree in the book of Genesis, 3rd chapter, 8th verse. And then the man and his wife, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the voice from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They heard the sound of God in the garden and they hid themselves. You know what that tells me? Originally they saw him, because they're emphasizing the sound. Sin came in and made them sightless. They couldn't see God in person. This is a first situation here. The law, first mention of a theophany in the Bible. This is God Almighty in person in the Garden of Eden. Personally, I think it's one of the most fabulous thoughts God's ever brought forward. After the sin, which of course is the reason Jesus had to go to the cross, and the cross had to be made out of that trunk, Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God, and the Bible says the Lord God here is Yahweh Elohim. It is who? Jesus Christ. Anytime there's a physical presence, it said he was walking in the cool of the day, which means his feet hit the ground. It means he's in person. It means it is God, the second person, Jesus Christ, who showed up in the Garden of Eden before sin came. Before sin came. How many are glad God's ahead of it all? Anybody else happy about that? He's not the cleanup crew, folks. He prepared ahead of time. And I want the ladies in the kitchen to come in and hear this last part. If someone over there can just, or Dave, go inform them. Thank you very much. I want to tell you something the Lord shared with me, and I think it's fabulous, and I'll probably do a message on it, just because it is a theophany, and it is the most important presentation of God in the garden. Adam and Eve would have seen Jesus Christ in person in the garden. They would have talked to him. They would have walked with him. And the reason I wanted to sing Hark the Herald at the end here today for the 4th verse in particular is this. I want you to get this into your spirit because I love it. In this theophany and God in person, the first Adam met the second Adam. The first Adam met the second Adam before sin. It was already taken care of. I find that fabulous. And because of that, we can walk through the trees. We have a path through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, without which we've got nothing. It's the most important thing, I think, about understanding God, is that he went ahead of us. And in the Garden of Eden, Adam met the one who came later on and removed the curse. I find that just phenomenal. And so we're going to sing, Hark the Herald, Angels Sing. Please stand. And rejoice.
Thank you.
Fabulous, Fabulous Song by Charles Wesley. Good day to be a Wesleyan. Okay. Every day is a good day to be a Christian. Okay. How many are glad for what God has done?
Amen.
How many are glad for what he's going to do?
Amen.
And how many are glad he's already prepared for it?
Amen.
Yippee-doo. Okay. You're all invited for potluck, of course. And make sure that nobody takes a second helping until everyone has got a first, including the folks in the kitchen. I'm going to ask Chris Arnold to come up and pray. And we will probably send in the email address of the funeral home and any of the details, make it easier for you.
Chris, thanks.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today with hearts of gratefulness. Lord, we pray and just ask that you bless this meal upon our body today as we all sit down in fellowship and join together in this meal. Lord, we pray and also just ask that you help give us strength and wisdom as we head into our week, and we ask for your protection, ask for your guidance. We ask that you help us to be a positive example for others to know what it's like to live close to you, Lord, through our actions, through our heart, through our love, and through our patience and our forgiveness. Lord, we pray, ask us to be strong in the challenges that we meet. And Lord, we pray that you just, help us continue to recognize your glory and maintain our heart of gratefulness. Lord, help us see opportunities to help others through these holidays where they may be struggling. Lord, we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.